March 11th, 2024. He's not what we want. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household." And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Matthew 13:53-58. Now, as we end chapter 13, and all that has been said and done, we will now move forward and see Jesus becoming more and more rejected, and also see him be more open about who he is and what he's come to do. But first, we must see how his closest friends and family view him in all this. So number one, rejection in his own hometown. His hometown was Nazareth. This is where he was a little boy. This is where all the men and women knew him as the carpenter's son. Verse 55. This is where he was common. They all saw him in his infant days. The little family who couldn't find a place for his kid for their birth. A kid born in a place where cows eat. They know his mom, dad, brothers, and sisters. And now, he was claiming to be the son of God. We would have to conclude that what we have heard him teach so far is what he would still be teaching in their synagogue as well. And plus, his mom and dad are Joseph and Mary, not God. So all of this would not make sense. We know from his birth at the beginning of Matthew that this was a poor family. And if we read the letters later from the apostles, we hear how he became a servant and gave up his riches in heaven. We must constantly push from our minds that Jesus was some buff and attractive white man like what we see in the pictures that hang in our church buildings. We must again read Isaiah 53:3. It says, "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." So he was poor, he was ugly, he was despised. And according to Justin Martyr, Jesus was said to be employed in his dad's work. In fact, Joseph would have been required to teach Jesus the trade of the family. More than that, if they were a poor family, Jesus would probably had to produce more things to help be helpful in bringing in an income for the family. This would have been known. People knew this boy, who was now a man, as a poor, undesirable carpenter's son. More than this, who was heard to have been born through adultery. They even bring this up later. Do you see why this would be so offensive? Number two, we have an offensive savior. You see, we must see here how much this savior did to understand and deliver us. He is so unlike everything that everyone finds to be important or great. He was so not the man for the job in their eyes that even his friends and family thought it crazy. People overlook him because they can't imagine what true greatness is. It's out of their comprehension. I mean, look at our heroes today. We love the Trumps and the ones who boast of themselves. We love men and women who come in the pride of our culture. That's who we look to. That's who we vote for. Well, most of the time. We think salvation is in our right vote. We think it's in someone who is so clever and exciting, such a great speaker, such a great visionary. We can't handle a poor carpenter's son. They were offended, and indeed, we are offended. This is why we try to pretty up the gospel. We have made it so fluffy and covered with sparkles that it looks like a cute little toy for cuddle time. It's a thing we do on Sunday. We have turned our churches into a cool and calm coffee bar. We have filled them with what we think is nice. We have the hipster preachers. We have the buff and exciting men. And to our shame, even women leading thousands in a hype of what we want to worship. We have turned our talks, we don't even call them sermons anymore, to watered-down comedy acts about ourselves and how great we are, about self-care and self-esteem, about how we are everywhere in the Bible and how God thinks us to be the coolest things ever made. And why? Well, because Jesus has never been cool. You preach a poor, ugly Jew who came to die on a cross and you lose a lot of fame and money. You get familiar with who Jesus really is and you find yourself turning around and being offended that anyone would even have the audacity to think he is the Savior of the world. We have an offensive Savior. Number three, our salvation is in a poor man. So lastly, the people couldn't come to a legitimate reason to believe him. They were so accustomed to him that it blinded their eyes to any other option. He declared the will of God, just as the prophets in the Old Testament had, and was rejected in the same way. They didn't see a Messiah. They only saw poor Jesus. Rich Mullins, a Christian artist from the 90s, wrote a song, "You Did Not Have a Home." And in this song, he says, "The hope of the whole world rests on the shoulders of a homeless man. You had the shoulders of a homeless man. You did not have a home." And this is what is so hard for men and women to accept when it comes to Christianity. They see Jesus, and they see him as a poor Jew who died on a cross. And then they say, You're the Savior. Yeah, right. And we read a while back about the blasphemy of the Spirit. That was in chapter 12. We saw how the hardness of heart can really hinder all opportunities for men and women to repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. It can prevent the forgiveness of sin. His friends and family saw him and couldn't handle it. Their hearts were hardened by what they knew, heard, and saw. This is a very dangerous position to be in. And although we aren't familiar with Jesus as they were, and that we don't know his family personally, and we never watched him grow up, we still must be aware of the hardness of heart from familiarity. We still must be aware of not taking offense. When we hear and read about this, what do we think? And the reality is, we serve someone who is so out of our expectations and so unpopular that it's almost impossible to believe. It literally takes a work of God for us to accept this. That's the reality. The Savior of the world is a poor man, a lowly servant of all, who was ridiculed and belittled, who went to a cross without a word and didn't defend himself, and who says, "Give up your life and follow me." And with his family, men and women say, "No way. There's no way that you are God. If anything, you're a joke." And the reality is, he's not what this world wants. And the question is, are you offended? What will you do with this Jesus today? Will you cling to him or find offense? Your salvation is on the shoulders of a homeless man. What will you do? Think on it. And with this, have a happy Monday.